Welcome to the Two Man Game Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. It is Monday, January 21st. It's cold outside. It's
a week from
9 degrees.
Remember when you used to do the weather? You used to do the weather.
We used to do the weather every single time. I need to get back to old ways, you know. I haven't done it in a while.
The weather.
It's cold as hell. Right now it says it's not that bad outside. Unless you plan on breathing. Well, look, I've got asthma. No, I don't, but whatever. We'll roll with it.
It's clear, 20 degrees, feels like 10.
Mine says feels like 7.
I love when it says what it feels like and what it is. It's like, whatever it feels like is what it is.
Is what it is.
Like, I don't care what it, like, how is there a difference?
Because I don't think a thermometer can detect, like, wind chill.
Yeah, well, we have machinery that can, obviously.
I can go outside and be like, it's cold as fuck.
I'm like, dude, like, that water is freezing. They're like, it's only 38 degrees. I'm like, no, the water is freezing. And they're like...
Does that work? Does wind chill freeze water?
Yes, it does.
It does?
The water up into the wind, it'll freeze.
Yeah, but no, but...
Have you ever watched The Incredibles? You know what Frozone does?
No, that's like...
They do that, like, during the summer,
no,
man.
What if it's 38 degrees, but the wind chill is, like, 30? Will water freeze?
Is water wet is the question.
I don't think that's the question.
Well, look,
call in, let us know. This is a live show.
Here's what you want to know: what is wet?
Text me at Cameron Goss. Text me at Cameron Goss's number,
which is all right. We'll give his number out on the pod.
Yeah, we're giving Cameron Goss's number out live on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This is live.
Yeah. This is not live.
His number is 502-291-8718.
Yeah, repeat it 3 times like you're in a commercial.
502-291-8718. Call that and let us know if water's wet and it can freeze in 30 degree wind chill.
But
I actually get a call.
You know what is wet?
If you call Cameron Goss, there's a special prize.
There is. There's a prize.
Don't leave a voice.
You never know what it could be. Could be an article of his clothing.
It's most likely an article of Goss's clothing.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to find out if water's wet. You know what is wet? Bryce Brown's jump shot. That's a sneak peek.
What a transition.
That's a sneak peek to the Dirt Diggler Award coming later. That we're going to talk about the ACC, who the best 8 teams are in the country. And, we'll probably talk about people named Jordan. What? Yeah, okay, in a little bit. Wait, but first, Bobby. Okay, welcome back. Goss, what do you want to... We're going to start off with your conference, the ACC, you know. You're a Louisville fan. You, every Saturday or Thursday, whenever your team plays, you always tell me, oh, the ACC, it's so loaded, man.
It is loaded.
There's so many good teams. Why is every team good? Sure. And I'm like, don't lose to Pittsburgh, you idiots. And he's like, Goss cries. Yeah, and then Jordan Wara saves the day. Goss is happy, and that's how it works. Okay, so I've got basically all the action from this week. Let's start off with the best teams. They played each other, Duke and Virginia.
Absolutely.
Duke overcoming the just horrendous adversity of not having what many dub as their most important player, even though he may not be one of their best 5 players.
I think Trey Jones. I think he's pretty important, though.
I'd say he's probably
his third most important.
I'd say the 2 dudes in the top 5 for the Wooden Award right now are a little bit more important. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Third.
Like Zion Williamson is probably going to be one of the best basketball players in the next 30 years. I think he's pretty important. RJ Barrett is going to be a top 2 pick. A little bit more important than Trey Jones. Clearly, he's not important enough to save them or to hold them back from beating the last remaining undefeated team. The Virginia Cavaliers, Duke, without...
Who won the Jack-Off Award?
We forgot to address the Jack-Off that happened. From now on, we have the Jack-Off Trophy. Every time 2 Jacks match up against each other and go head-to-head, they're going to have a great gain ownership of the Jack-Off Trophy.
This might be the best Jack matchup that...
This is the original Jack-Off. This is the best Jack-Off.
Jack White?
And Jack Salt. Two of the best screen setters in all of college basketball. One, more of a three-point shooter.
I'm guessing that's Jack White.
No, yeah, Jack White. But, you know, against Syracuse, 0 for 10, you know what? He said, look, calm before the storm. I got to get my bad performance out against the crappy team and then show up in the
big and
game.
Lose to the crappy team.
Well,
and
look,
then
he didn't make
team.
A three-pointer again on Saturday. That doesn't matter, really. At least he scored 4 points, had a dunk. But, look, Jack Salt was just better. Was stellar defensively. A couple times, just ran into Zion, and guess what? He didn't get his ass knocked on the ground. Mm. He actually knocked Zion on the ground. It's quite remarkable, actually. Jack Salt, with his military buzz cut and mountaineerish beard, said, you know what? I'm bigger and stronger than you, Zion, so I'm going to challenge you at the rim. Zion bitched at the ref, as all great Duke players do, because Jack Salt rejected him with his body. So because of Jack Salt's terrific defense and stellar rebounding and his robust 100% shooting percentage from the field, he's two for two. Even had a little nice little jump hook, an Alex Weber special on the pickup game.
An Alex Weber
baby
special
hook.
And the baby
hook.
The
baby hook.
Yeah.
The baby hook,
love
yeah.
Love to see it.
I love a good baby hook, yeah. He had one of those. So yeah, Jack Salt. He's going to win the jack-off for me this week. His team may have lost, but guess what? It wasn't to any fault of his own. Hey, Ty Jerome and DeAndre Hunter, while we hit some open three-pointers, y'all are like 40% shooters. Come on.
Never been big on DeAndre
Hunter. It's like, I'm pretty sure I've watched you all hit those dudes, hit those shots every
single
week against
Louisville. Yeah, I've seen DeAndre Hunter hit three.
I think I've also seen DeAndre Hunter hit an open three. A bang three
like
with
0.6 seconds left, but I'm not, you know,
down. Okay, so do
I'm
we
over
think...
it.
You're the big ACC guys. Duke the best team. Goss.
Yes, because they beat UVA.
They won by two.
Yeah, but Louisville also beat North Carolina.
One of their most important players.
Yeah, but the game could have gone either way. It was on the road. Cameron Crazies. Oh, the Cameron Crazies. They didn't even put Dickie V on the call, which is just,
Put Dickie V on our call.
Oh, we'll get to that in a minute. Actually, no, let's just talk about Dickie V on our game was hilarious. They went to the monitor.
Oh!
Every time they went to the monitor, he was like, oh, what? The monitor, baby! He was like, what are we doing?
Why is the monitor the sixth man?
He was like, the monitor, man!
And then the color, the analyst was like, Dickie, they're coming back. That was like a 5-second visit. He's like, oh, Lamar.
It's like, hey, Charles Barkley, man. Charles Barkley, you're a great player. The best was when they panned over to the crowd, and there was a UK fan there, and they had one of those Duke shirts on that had the D and the E crossed out, and he was like, oh, what's that doing in here, baby? He was like, Duke, they play later on after our game. He's like, 6 p.m. on ESPN, and the guy's like, oh, Dickie, that's actually is the D and the E crossed out. He's like, he used that like 5 times. When they went to the monitor, he was like, I only got one eye.
And I know that was an obvious call.
Maybe that's why he's such good friends with Rick Pitino. Remember when Rick came out in his press conference and he was like, I can only see out of my left eye.
Yeah.
And then Vital's like, oh shit, me too. We're both kind of got an Italian name. We're both old.
I will defend you through anything.
You know what? When you're a one-eyed man, you gotta stick together with the other one-eyed men. The glass eye is not a trait shared by many, but they bond over it. Rick and Dick.
It's beautiful.
The Rick and Dick combo. I feel like they should just go coach UCLA together.
Kentucky is officially I digress, but Kentucky is officially a top 10 team in my book. They played incredible against Auburn, and Auburn was hitting some ridiculous shots down the court. We won that game by, like, a good amount. We should have won by more.
Right,
so
we're going to get to that after the ACC.
Just
the ACC.
Keep talking.
Okay. So, Virginia, I think they're definitely the second best team right up there with Duke. I think if they played again on a neutral court,
it could go either way.
Yeah. But Zion is just... Kyle Guy was like, oh shoot, I'm not used to guarding Zion Williamson.
Yeah,
backline defense does not know what to do with a little Zion there. Anyway, so those are the best two teams. Yeah, they beat Virginia Tech by 22 earlier in the week. Although North Carolina just beat them, who I think is the third best team in the conference right now.
When they can shoot, actually.
Oh, yeah. When they're making shots, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
You know who else is pretty good when they're making shots? The Trae Young-led Atlanta Hawks. They're pretty good when they're making shots.
But that's not that bad. We digress.
That's once a month. Anyway. we do digress.
Not trying for Zion.
They're not trying for Zion. So, yeah. A lot of teams not trying for Zion.
The Knicks lost on a goaltend. They're not. They're definitely not trying to sign for Zion.
Like, shit, the shot's not even going in. Let's block it.
Let's go. Let's block and lose.
And on, in the post-podcast group chat, they're like, congrats, man. Y'all won this tank fest. The Knicks fan. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, that's great.
But anyway, North Carolina played a lot better after they got spanked by babyface Chris Mack. I know.
Babyface.
You know when the baby spanks the adult? That's what happened. Chris Mack spanked Roy Williams. Little role reversal there.
Love it.
Anyway, all right, UNC, they beat, who they beat? Miami. They beat Miami pretty good. Beat Notre Dame, all right. I mean, but then tonight, just was watching, they laid the smackdown in Virginia Tech, beat them 103-82. They made shots, I'd say.
I had one of the most incredible runs I've seen this year.
The best was, if you need to go Google the clip of Garrison Brooks and one, they put him up by like 13. Kobe White is just jumping up and down because oh my God, we're playing well again. We're actually beating a good team.
I hate North Carolina, but when, like, especially that play, because that kind of like secured, like it was just awesome. Like, you thought it couldn't get any better for him, and then he fights for that loose ball,
and then he gets the and one,
and Kobe White's just going ham, and they're all flexing at the crowd. Oh, dude, that was awesome.
He showed more glee celebrating Garrison Brooks and one in a January game than Tom Brady has in five Super Bowls. Yeah.
It was so
crazy. Virginia Tech, I never really thought they were legit. They hadn't beat anybody good all year. Their best win was, like, against Purdue, which, I mean, they're whatever this year. They're Carson Edwards and nothing else. But, they didn't look good tonight. They haven't played anybody good in the ACC besides Virginia, and they got killed by Virginia. So, I don't think Virginia Tech's that good. They're number 10 in the country right now, but to me, they're overrated. There's a lot of teams way more deserving than them sitting behind them in the poll.
Yeah, like Louisville.
Perhaps. I mean, I think the reason they didn't put Virginia Tech by Louisville
is because... We have a lot of good wins.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the APC's... Oh, three losses? Three more losses? Oh my God, baby!
we have two more losses, and we have better wins.
Well, yeah, but... Three I mean, better I'm wins. I'm talking about at the time of the poll. Virginia Tech just lost tonight, so yeah, that's their third loss. Hey, in my poll, Virginia Tech's not high. Actually, Gus, you want to check my poll? Louisville is one spot behind Virginia Tech. A little bit more. Yeah. I got Louisville 17th, six spots ahead of the AP. That's pretty good, I'd say. Anyway, the rest of the ACC, NC State, I mean, they're just kind of falling off. They lost to Wake Forest. Mm-hmm. Wake Forest sucks, guys. They suck.
We play on Thursday. I don't
remember the last time Wake Forest
was good. That'll be like a big win.
Tim Duncan, Chris Paul. Yeah, you should. Wait, you play Wake Forest?
We play, no, NC State.
Oh, that'd Thursday? Be a big win. It'd be a decent one. I think you should win because they have no size.
It's one of those, it's decent win, but it's not gonna hurt you too bad if you lose.
Yeah, it's a game. Wait, where's it at though?
Like, you don't want to lose to Pitt again. That hurt.
You don't want to lose.
It's at home.
Oh, okay. You should win that.
I think we play again.
All right, and then they barely beat Notre Dame, who's not good. Doesn't even have Rex Pfluger. They're second best player with the bleached hair. Anyway, and then a lot of teams falling apart in this conference. Florida State lost two in a row. It's pretty odd. They don't have a go-to score.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was at the end of the Boston College, they're trading buckets, but it was like, wait, we don't actually have anybody that can score every possession if we just give them the ball.
Because you don't have, like, a guy.
They don't have a Terrence Mann.
It's like a playmaker.
Like, Terrence Mann isn't not good enough to be that.
He's just, like, a normal player.
He's a great second best scorer. That's been the problem. Yeah. They just have a bunch of dudes that average 12 points a game and none that average 18 and can just go.
They don't have their Jordan Wara.
They don't have their Jordan Wara. Like, I mean, as stupid as it sounds, they don't have a guy that can just go score.
Which they
can
still, like, do some damage in the ACC. But yeah, they made
the Elite Eight last year with the same issue.
They won't do. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And then basically after those teams, like, Syracuse might be coming back after they beat Duke with Tyus Battle. Boeheim pissing himself. I mean, that's a great story. Great narrative. I mean, they're getting some good pub. But still, they've lost a bunch of games they shouldn't have. And other than that, like, there's not a lot of good teams. Like, I feel like there's teams out there that can go prove themselves. Miami, they're down to seven scholarship players. Chris Likes is really fun at, like, 5'6", but, like, come on, that can't be your best player.
He is so fun
to watch. He is so fun to watch.
I've seen him in person, like, this year. It's like the little Energizer bunny. Oh, wow. Hilarious.
What a cliche comparison, Goss.
It is a cliche, but like it's just, like, Tyler Ulis
was called the same thing. Tyler Ulis was called the same thing, Goss. No, get a new cliche. He's the same thing. He's the same thing he's as not Tyler Ulis. Yes.
He's more explosive he's than Tyler Ulis, but he's not as good.
He's the same type of player. He's not as good defensively, but he's a better offensive player.
He's not a better I wouldn't say he's a better passer.
Whoa. What'd you just say?
Faster.
He's not a better shooter, though. Mid-range.
He's not a better.
A lot faster. Kenny, you had no clue who this person was before today.
Look.
Today? No.
I watched him.
Who he was, and you're like.
Oh, I knew him. You didn't say he was the 5'6 dude from Miami. I watched him.
I said he's the best player in Miami.
Yeah, right. No, you're talking about.
I wouldn't say it's Tyler. Said he's 5'6". Tyler Ulis was a player of the year candidate. I wouldn't call Chris Likes that good yet, but like he's only a sophomore.
He's the same player and he's better offensively.
He's definitely
at
better.
A lot of things.
What? Dude,
it's not Tyler Ulis is not passing. Not going to the rim, maybe. He's just faster. That's literally all he is.
Definitely better at going to the rim.
Well, you did not watch Tyler Ulis. Tyler Ulis this guy's better at going to the rim.
Tyler Ulis did.
He's not. Tyler Ulis was so good.
Tyler Ulis didn't even try to go to the rim. He always pull up for that floater.
Tyler Ulis. Okay,
Tyler Ulis was so.
I love Chris Likes. He's like my second favorite player to watch. But Tyler Ulis is sacred ground. You can't touch. That's like my favorite player, Goss. Come on. Don't even. This dude should have been
Tyler Ulis
was player
a great offensive player.
Oh yeah. Anyway, back on track. ACC, like, you got Pittsburgh, who, like, they're fun, but, like, Trey McGowan scores 30 every couple games, and every couple games he scores zero. So they're not, and they're very inconsistent. I mean, the rest of them, you got Wake Forest, Notre Dame, teams like that, just like Georgia Tech, who you will beat the tar out of, has no direction whatsoever, and Josh Pastner.
Yeah, I don't know how he hasn't been fired yet. They had, like, a good team, like a surprising team.
I was watching Georgia Tech game, and they gave the people on the front row Pastner wigs, and I was like, that's the best thing that's happened to Georgia Tech basketball in 5 years.
Like, they had Josh Okogie, who was a first-round pick.
Ben Lammers. Tadrick Jackson. I mean, they had a good team last year, and they just did nothing
with
it.
They had pretty much everybody the good that they have now, just not many people.
Yeah.
Like, apparently they actually have a good defense.
Yeah.
But, like, their offense is so bad.
It is unwatchable.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this Tennessee transfer. Yeah, the guy that left the team that's number one.
We scored,
right now?
70 points against them? But, like...
They were so
I'm pretty sure they scored,
pathetic.
Like, 40-something.
You know why they're good on defense, Gus? No, they don't allow so many points a game? Because they get shot clock violations on all their possessions. They waste all the time.
Yeah. No, they're good on defense and, like, field goal percentage and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay, so can we agree that the ACC championships is going to be Duke and Virginia?
In the title game? It depends on... No, like, honestly, it depends on... How the standings shake up because it's always weird.
It's gonna be those two teams at the top.
If it's like one of them's gonna be number one in ACC, and if the other one's not two or three, then they could meet.
Yeah, but there's no way Duke or Virginia isn't gonna be a top three seed.
I know, but it's happened before. Weirdly enough,
I know
Duke's been a five seed.
I know, but
Duke's really good.
Duke's too good this year. They just have too much talent to lose that many games. Plus, they don't play a difficult ACC schedule. They play a lot of bad teams twice. Oh, and LeJarrion Vick dunks it to take the lead against Iowa State. All right, so we'll get on to... let's just go through who we think the eight best teams are right now. And I've got the list. I'd say...
That's your list.
Inarguably right now, the eight best teams, in whatever order, are Tennessee, Gonzaga, Duke, Virginia, Michigan State, Michigan, Kentucky, and Kansas. I'd say it's those eight. I'd say your national title winner is in that group. I'd say, right now, if you had to ask me, those are the best eight teams in the country right now. And it's like, after that, you can go North Carolina, Buffalo, Marquette, like that kind of group. Like, there's not, I feel like there's a pretty significant drop between those teams and the top eight, right? But the question is, who of those teams do you think is the best? Right now. If we did an eight-team tournament right now, who would win?
That would be really cool.
Like if that's your Elite Eight. If I say that's the Elite Eight, these teams are who's left. They're playing for the title. Who's going to win?
I mean, not Kansas. I don't think Kansas is.
I don't think so either.
Definitely not Kansas.
Let's talk about Kansas. They're neck and neck.
I mean, they lost
Udoka, right,
who's one of the most efficient post. Offensive players in the country.
He's the only player in the country I'd say is just bigger than Zion.
Yeah.
He's 7-1 and like
he'd just be a force thick. At the rim.
Yeah. He was averaging like 13 a game. He's had injury history in the past. So what'd they do when they lost a guy with a foreign African sounding name? They pulled another guy out of nowhere. It's Oche Agbaji. And he's like scoring a bunch now for them. And it's like, what? Where did this guy come from? Like, well, we lost Silvio De Souza. We lost Udoka. We got this Oche guy now. And Phil Self's pleased. But they're still not. They lost at West Virginia. West Virginia's terrible this year.
Yeah.
They're 8-9, 9-9, 9-10.
No, like, I think they won that game to go 9-9, and I think they lost.
They lost tonight to Baylor. Baylor! I know Baylor's won a couple games.
They're 1-6 in the Big Ten. Big 12.
Mm-hmm. The reason I kind of like Kansas, though, is, like, they have two really good scores. Like, if
Dedrick Lawson and Gerald Day.
Dedrick Lawson is reliable. And if Vic is hitting... Yeah.
They're pretty elite players.
Yeah. But, like, Vic's weird. He'll score under 10 or he'll score over 30. Like, he's
he's like Marcus Howard, kind of.
He's a boomer. A very, very poor man. But, like, all he does is shoot threes now. It's like, what? This guy didn't shoot any threes at all his first few years in Kansas. Like, what's going on here? But anyway, yeah. So I'd say Kansas is definitely the worst out of those teams. Or the I'd say them and Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan's offense is just ugly.
Yeah.
They only scored 54 against Wisconsin. I'm
curious to see Gonzaga once they get Killian Tilly back, but then again, they're in a crappy conference.
Well, they have Tilly. They
won't be able
back.
To prove
anything
with Tilly until the tournament.
But what I think I look at is they beat Duke without two of their top six or seven players, which I think is really, really impressive. Hachimura is going to be a
it's
guy.
It's all about playing together.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to not play Killian Tilly.
But, I mean...
They make him better, but it's like the... I know he's not the best player, but it's kind of like the Ewing theory in a way.
Oh, yeah, the Ewing
like
theory.
You're playing with it's a different team still, even if it's technically more talented.
Well, I think the reason he'll fit better is, even though he's a center, he's a really good three-point shooter. Like, was like 48% last year. And right now they're running out Hachimura and Clark as their front court. Neither of those guys really shoot threes, but like they're athletic enough to play on the wing. Or like... Hachimura is a high-post Japanese guy.
Hmm.
I mean, he's quite unique, and he can kind of play with... He can definitely play with a center that shoots threes. Norvell launches threes.
Didn't they bench Perkins or something? For, like, a game or something? Because he was playing bad?
Yeah, well, like, I'm telling you, man, they're trying to make him what he's not. He's not supposed to be a point guard.
He's not a true point guard at all. That's kind of like what Kobe White was.
Yeah, it's what Kobe White is.
Like, that's been, like, North Carolina's kind of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's played... Well, but like
it's like seventh Woods is better at running the offense.
Like he averages what, like 15, but like it's almost like what he's doing for them other than that is not helping them.
Yeah, he's not a lead guard. He's a great off ball color player.
Yeah, that's why I think they should take Kenny Williams out of the starting line.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh Woods, Kobe White,
Cam
Johnson, Luke Bett, Garrison Brooks.
So we think the worst teams, we think Gonzaga and Michigan are the weakest, and then Kansas and Michigan are the weakest, and then
after that, I would say probably
like if I'm telling, I feel like Kentucky. I guess you have to go next because they've got three losses. It's just tough. Like
Gonzaga,
I feel like Kentucky has a lot of potential.
I'm I might say Michigan with that. Michigan State with Kentucky.
Yeah, Michigan State. I don't. The Big Ten doesn't seem that good. Like. Who have they beaten is the question.
They technically beat, like, good teams, like Maryland.
Like, they beat Maryland, but, like, how good's Maryland? They
haven't proved anything.
Maryland hasn't shown me that they're one of the best 15 teams, even though they're ranked up there. But, like, the Big Ten's a lot of unproven. They beat Ohio State at Ohio State. It's like, okay. I want to see them beat Michigan. Or go beat somebody that's, like, a definite top 15 team.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the only one of these top teams that hasn't yet.
Actually, the Big Ten's barely deep, actually.
It's deep, but with like mediocre teams.
There's a lot of mediocre teams.
A lot of tournament teams, but not
a lot
of
mediocre teams.
Yeah. It's basically all mediocre teams.
Ohio State, Nebraska, Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa,
Purdue.
All mediocre.
But like, I mean, to be fair though, they
against
mediocre teams, they're doing pretty well. Like, they beat the hell out of Iowa by like 22. They handled Maryland.
Purdue?
I don't know if they've played Purdue, but they definitely beat them.
I might be thinking of Indiana for some reason.
Because
It's one of them beat the Cardinals.
Okay, so then Michigan State, Kentucky. All right, we're going to talk Kentucky's game Saturday. Against Auburn, you watched it with me as I lost my mind along with Bryce Brown and his big shots, all that. The dude was...
He only made, like, one or two.
In Fuego. 5 for 5 in the second half from the three-point line. 7 for 7 from the field. 6 for 6 from the free throw line. Just insane.
He should have shot more. Why didn't he?
We were losing. We lost a 17-point lead, and we're down one.
Their issue was Harper taking the last three.
Yeah. Well, Harper... Okay, so look. Basically, they were down two with about 30 seconds left. And what do? They give it to Jared Harper, and he makes the shot all the time. Does the thing. He steps back from, like, 30 feet, drains a 30.
Does what every small player does in clutch situations. They nail the step-back three from way out there.
I'm like, oh, wait, it's Stephen Curry. Just, like, I feel like we've played Stephen Curry 5 times this year. Bubba Parnum. Bubba Parnum.
I mean, it helps that they have, like, nobody else doing it.
Yeah. It's always in conference play, too.
I know, like, it's like, oh, wait. I feel like teams have made their first 2 3-pointers against Kentucky in every game this year.
Oh, no, with that.
Auburn didn't, but, like, they did. Yeah. They made up for it, first of all.
Yep.
But no, we looked good. All 5 of our starters played very well.
And Auburn played really well, too, honestly.
They didn't have Wiley, which I'm sure would have helped. Outside of, but I don't know.
But, like, I mean, obviously Brown and Harper had really good games.
Okiki played well. Dunbar played well.
Dunbar we just like played really points. Well. We were hitting our shots.
We played well.
We just played better defense.
Hero does what he does on the road and played really well. Hit his shots. Every time they would hit a shot, we would hit a shut the fuck up shot. Yeah.
And usually be Tyler Hero hitting that shot.
Oh, yeah. Keldon made a few.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they just made plays. The offense looked really good.
We were talking about this too. Don't piss Keldon Johnson off.
Don't piss Keldon Johnson.
Because, you know, he'll usually retaliate by, like...
Yeah. Did you see...
That's what Calipari should do. Keldon, you suck.
I mean, did you watch the practice? The practice I'm pretty sure they piss him off a lot.
And then he just went and yelled in Kenny Payne's face.
All right, wait. We shouldn't say
that. Whatever, who cares?
I mean, yeah, he did kind of... He slammed the ball on the ground. He got really...
And he dunked over, like, Reed Travis. I was like, holy hell.
I mean, literally, they couldn't stop him. Reed Travis, Nick Richards...
They were rebounding over all of them.
He was killing them. And they were trying to punish him.
Saturday, Higgins threw a pass to Johnson. Johnson wasn't paying a lick of attention. And Higgins just yells to him. He goes, wake the fuck up. And he did. He waked up and scored 20 points. That's awesome. Looked like the go-to scorer we need.
Honestly, I don't want Keldon to be our leader. I want Ash to be our leader. I feel like he'd be a lot better at it.
Yeah.
So I like that he can yell that. And he's playing well enough to.
It's always good to have a leader that's your best defender.
Yeah, absolutely.
and it's gonna play hard no matter what because it sets the tone.
And isn't a liability because then people won't respect him if he's just getting scored on all the time. Because
hopefully it gets Keldon and PJ every game. It's like, well, if Ashton's trying hard, I gotta try hard too. Especially you, PJ.
Yeah, especially. Reed Travis. PJ played great.
PJ played well. He
had a comeback game, so did Travis. Everyone that wasn't playing well before started playing well.
PJ Washington's 3-point shot exists now. It's like a solid. Like, I trust it when he shoots it.
Especially from the top of the key.
His form looks really good this year. They mentioned this, Dick Vitale, and he was like, he was dropping his arm near his shoulder when he was shooting last year, which is true. He had a little hitch. Mm-hmm. This year he just releases it high. It looks a lot better.
Yeah.
Reed Travis hasn't played too well in SEC play, but played really well.
He played really well last night. 17 points. He would have done more if he hadn't have gotten foul trouble.
Yeah,
he was destroying.
The only problem I have with our best five in the game at the same time is that on defense we don't have a shot blocker, which really hurts. Yeah, like really PJ hurt. And Reed can both kind of block shots. PJ more than Reed, but neither of them are.
Neither of them are Nick Richards or EJ. Yeah.
We don't have a guy that can guard like a 6'11 athletic big man, which luckily Kansas doesn't have, so that lineup should
and
be.
We do have one coming off the bench, it's just not in our best five. And if we need
him. We have two of them.
We've got two of them, yeah.
If we need to. Also, I mean, like, and then I just like how, I just like the our roles right now. Our starters know what they're doing. Quickley's good off the bench. He can play either guard spot, he can hit threes and pass. And
he's doing what Quaddy
Green good defense.
Cal asked Quaddy Green to do last year, but better.
Yeah, he's like, I can hit threes pretty well. I play really good defense. And yeah. And then Jamal Baker's like, I'm a pretty good defender too. I pass when I should, and I'm an amazing shooter. So yeah. And then you got the two big dudes that are just like, hey, rebound, block shots, try.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like the direction they're heading in. All right, we spent a long time with them. We talked about Duke and Virginia. I guess the only team we haven't talked about in the top eight yet is Tennessee. Number one team. I think deservedly so. They're the best team right now.
They're the best team. And they're really fun to watch, honestly.
Honestly, I don't mind Tennessee basketball. I don't really care because Kentucky usually beats them. So I'm glad. I like seeing SEC teams have fun.
Yeah.
And Schofield and Grant Williams are really fun.
They're really likable too.
They're super likable. They just
try hard.
They try. Really, I like players that try hard. It's fun to watch.
They don't complain. They just go out there and try.
Yeah. Like, there hasn't been as fun a forward combination since RJ and Zion.
Since Wisconsin,
I'd honestly take Tennessee over Duke in a game.
Sam Decker and Frank.
I feel like Admiral Schofield could give Zion all he could handle.
Frank Kaminsky.
I like
Sam Decker. Nigel Hayes.
Okay, Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams piss on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just talking from like a cool and fun, and entertaining,
yes,
an entertaining standpoint. Nobody wants to watch
front
Sam
court?
Decker and Kaminsky. Those dudes are not that fun.
But they're really
Terrence good. Jones and Anthony Davis.
Yeah, MKG and Anthony.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways,
oh yeah, give back.
Okay, so Tennessee, they
said front court.
They just got the best.
He said
forward combo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, great forward combo for them. I can't. They're just fun to watch, and they play an easy SEC schedule, so I think they'll end up winning the league. And there's a good chance when they roll into Lexington on February 16th, they are undefeated in the SEC and number one. That'll be a fun game. That'll be bigger than this Kansas game this weekend, probably, even. If it's on a Saturday.
Especially if they lose Iowa State.
Yeah, Kansas lost. Yeah, if they lose two straight coming in here, it'll still be a big game. But
yeah, I don't mean it's
the okay.
Second biggest game left.
We've spent a while. It's time to get on to our America's Favorite segment, brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. Y'all, Thrive Fantasy. You know what you were doing yesterday evening?
Thriving.
If you had Julian Edelman on your fantasy team, you were thriving. He had quite a performance, catching all the big third and tens.
That's the whole thing. It's like, what does this person look like?
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Oh, I forgot.
It was like
an NFL football
player. Bargetown Road vape shop owner. And I was like, oh my God.
That's good.
I tell you what. Oh, God, he was money last night. Other than the fact that he tried to catch a punt that he whiffed on and it didn't hit him, all that kind of
crap.
God,
I was hoping
he was catching every third down. Yeah, God, Brady's the best ever.
But, yeah, Thrive Fantasy.
Thrive Fantasy. Patriots always fucking thrive because Bill Belichick throws his Surface Pro on the ground when he gets mad and he still wins and he's just...
And then he goes on to Thrive Fantasy and then he's just happy he wins.
Because he puts all his... Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Dirk so Diggler. Thrive Fantasy presents the Dirk Diggler Award for the Big Bright Shining Star of the Week. Kenny, who's yours?
Mine is Coby White.
Much talked about so far, yeah?
Yes, because of his... He was the lead. Stellar performance tonight. And just he was the leader of that epic run to go down two or three with, about 5 minutes to go,
mm-hmm.
and then end up at halftime with an 18-point lead.
Yeah, we got to talk man bun.
Man bun. Coby White's better than Fromo.
What would
White.
You call it? Would you call that? It's like a ponytail that sticks up in the air. I guess that's
a bun.
It's a bun. It's a big bun though. It's an oblong bun.
Forgot to bring this up when we were talking in North Carolina, but I think it's huge. Nasir Little finally.
Oh, he looks like a player. Something. He looks like someone that's actually going to be a lottery pick. Maybe
or somebody
eventually.
That like actually could help the team.
Yeah.
They've
yeah.
needed him.
No, they've needed him big time. Coby White just looked pretty good recently. Finally, he I still don't think he's a lead point guard, but
he's still inconsistent.
He turns the ball over a lot.
Yes,
but look, I mean, the other day he had 17 points, five mm-hmm. rebounds against Notre Dame. Big game.
Not really.
I mean, look. They need dudes that can just be consistent, and Coby White is finally being consistent. Like, Luke May is inconsistent because if you throw an athletic big guy at him, he can't score.
Cameron Johnson's the only consistent player on the team.
I would agree with you.
Luke May? He's pretty consistent. Like, he doesn't bring
but like
as
Luke
much
May,
scoring, but he doesn't need to.
Who is?
As much scoring as he
Luke
used
May?
To. Luke May?
Yeah, I know, but like, still, I don't...
But he's consistent.
Is he? I feel like if you throw he can't score against athletic dudes. Like, we saw this against Kentucky. He couldn't score against P.J. Washington. P.J.
Yeah,
Washington's not one of the best defenders in the world. But, like, still.
It's because he's not very physical.
Mm-hmm. Coby White tonight with 27, 6, and 7. 27 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. That'll do. He does that every game. Carolina's going to go to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And if
okay,
you get 23 and 6 out of Nasir Little,
and then
you're
going to
do well. Cam Johnson.
8 points.
I think Cam Johnson is still their best player, but like.
No, definitely. He definitely is.
Dude, I had this team top five to start the year because I was like, wait a minute.
They have a lot of guys.
Kobe White, Kenny Williams, Cam Johnson, Luke May, and Nassir Little. Like, that's a five right there.
But you obviously say when they're clicking and they're like, you're making, like, oh, when they're my making, God. When they're making shots, like, mm-hmm. they're an incredible team.
And then when they're bricking contested threes and not getting back on defense like they did against Louisville, it's like, oh, and Nassir Little's non-existent. You're like, oh, okay, this team's, well, wait, what? Why are they even Why are they ranked 11th in the country?
But then you watch tonight and you see just like that they're incredible.
They if they put it together, they're really good.
They got a lot of potential. Let's see if Roy Williams can bring it out.
Can they keep? Maybe can they be consistent?
Maybe it's those shoes he was wearing.
They wore
tonight.
The pink shoes tonight. Yeah.
No, the did you see those shoes the that Roy team. Williams was wearing?
I saw the whole
the
team.
UNC off white ones.
No, I did not.
He broke out. He broke out some nice shoes.
Are those jacket throwing shoes? Like he did in Las Vegas.
Yeah, that was awesome.
He threw the jacket at his player. Okay, gosh, your Dirk Diggler of the week is
Ethan Happ
for the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean they got a huge win over Michigan.
Yeah, undefeated. Yeah,
first
number two
loss.
In the country.
And Ethan Happ was pretty much the reason.
You're gonna really underestimate Crew Cut Brad like that. Hey, he's not Buzz Cut anymore. They literally made an Instagram post that said the Buzz Cut was so 2018.
Literally, now nobody else did anything for them.
Now it's Crew Cup, Brad. Whatever, man. Ethan Happ.
26, 10, and 7.
Look, 10
he
assists.
Triple double almost.
10 rebounds?
7 assists, 10 rebounds.
Damn, he's a really good passer.
2 steals.
Is he the next Jokic?
Who knows?
Just kidding.
The next Mo Wagner. Poor man's.
It is interesting. The guy can't shoot worth anything from outside. If he's not banking it off the glass, he can't do anything. Like, was his 3-point percentage is in the dirt?
He didn't shoot three.
He shoots,
That's
exactly.
Why.
He shoots 49% from the free throw line. That's like, it's like you can't give it to him in crunch time. So that's kind of worrisome. But still, Ethan Happ.
Yeah, he had a great game.
Ethan Happ's really good.
I mean, they played great defense.
I mean, yeah, when you score 27 and lead your team to victory by 10 points over the number two team who's undefeated, that's a good day for you. Especially Drew the flagrant foul.
He did a lot. Like, 7 assists for a big man. That impresses me.
So, yeah. Happ, impressive performance. He's going to need a few more of those to get Wisconsin back on the national radar because they are a pathetic offensive team.
They have a really good defense.
I mean, good defense, yeah. But just give it to Buzz Cup Rat. I mean, Crew Cup Rat, whatever.
He had 26 of their 64.
Yeah, like, that's that conversion rate's one to be remembered. Okay, my Dirk Diggler of the week is a guy we already talked about, Bryce Brown from Auburn. It's not often the guy goes 28 points on, 7 made field goals? How often does that happen?
I don't know.
It doesn't.
Was it like James Harden? He had like 40
on
like
8?
8? Yeah.
Or 9 or 10? Or
but
something.
Like he also had 27 free throw attempts.
Yeah, and this guy did not.
He was 8 for 9.
8 for 9 from the field.
He should have shot more. Like,
6
what the
or
hell?
7. Honestly, well, because they would like put Higgins on him and Higgins glued to him. He couldn't get a shot. But when he did.
Just throw it up.
They did good containing him in the half court. But whenever in transition, they just get it to him and it's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Bryce Brown went nuclear. Even though his team lost, I still thought he was a big bright shining star. Dickie V was like, oh baby, it's Brown. He's like, look at him making the three over the diaper days. I was like, oh boy, yeah, Bryce Brown, go. Yeah, really helped Auburn come back from a 17 point deficit. They arguably should have won. Harper's shot rolled out at the last second. But they fall and defeat their second home loss in the last two seasons. So, yeah. That's the Dirk Diggler Award brought to you by Thrive Fantasy. And Kenny is about out of here. Getting his flip-flops ready to go. He's ditching us early. We're kicking him off the pod.
Sorry. No. Look. I have other obligations.
He has prior obligations. You know, he's got another podcast to record.
Yeah, education comes first, kids.
He's like, shit, I didn't set my Thrive Fantasy lineup for a night.
That's what I'm doing. Not my Thrive NBA basketball lineup.
Your NBA, yeah. Okay.
Gotta do it.
See ya. Get out of here. Where is Kenny Fair this time? We don't know. Okay, so and then now we're gonna get on to our draft. School's back in session, Goss. It's time for draft class, where we teach you. Instructor Cameron Goss and pupil Alex Weber, teach me about your draft prospect of the week.
Oh, mine?
Yes.
Oh, well, no, I'm a Louisville fan.
Obviously.
So I gotta go with the best player on Louisville, mm-hmm. by far, who performed very well in two straight games.
Malik First, Williams.
Jordan Wara, right?
I suppose.
No, sure. Yeah, against Jordan. Boston College, mm-hmm. 32 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, on 12 of 6 shooting. 16 shooting.
12 of 6, huh? Yeah. Interesting fraction.
12 of 16. 5 for 9 from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
3 for 4 from the free throw line.
Wara's...
And look at this. Mm-hmm. Efficiency.
He's an efficient scorer.
That's so efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got... Next game.
Name of the game in the NBA
25
now.
Points, 8 rebounds on 10 of 16 shooting. Good so that's 22 for 32 his past
this,
two games.
This week?
And 18, this past week, and 18 yeah. rebounds.
Uh-huh. I mean, look, Wara's in...
He doesn't... And, like, what I really like about him is he's so...
Versatile.
Offensively.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots threes. With a pull up.
Hey, gosh, you had to use the term.
Or
all three phases
shoot,
of the game.
Catch
all
and shoot,
three phases, man.
Dribble, pull up, mid range. Mm-hmm. He's really good at driving, jump stop, floater.
Mm-hmm.
Really good at dunking.
What I like about him is how he attacks the rim. Like, he doesn't take time to think. Like, when he gets the ball in the wing, like in transition, he won't think. He'll do pump fake, drive around, dunk. And I'm like, okay, that's...
And that's what
he knows what he's doing.
That's
he
what
doesn't,
BJ never does. He's
yeah, BJ King hesitates. He's so in his own head. It's like, Jordan Wara and BJ put everything together.
Yeah.
And Jordan Wara is a good shooter, too. Also.
He's
you know.
A better shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, yeah, like...
Wara, I don't know why he's not higher in draft boards. He's 6'8". He's big.
He's not even in top...
Like, yeah, there's a foundation for him to be a good defender someday. He can rebound the basketball. I mean, he's long. I don't know, like, I feel
and
like this is everything
still,
you're looking for.
He could still lose some weight and gain muscle, and that would only help him.
He's how old is he? He's 20? I mean...
Yeah. He's a sophomore.
I mean, this dude has major
and
scoring
he has
potential.
A lot of experience against NBA players. Like, and when he played in that Nigerian basketball thing,
yeah,
he was
summer.
Playing with three former NBA players.
I mean, he's played against grown men.
Yeah. He's
he was the best player against grown men. I really like Wara. I other than the fact that his shot form's really funky and I don't like his mechanics, and I think it might be tougher to get off in the NBA, I just really like
it.
He gets
it off so fast. Like,
yeah, he's got a quick release.
It's similar to, like Lonzo's. It's not as more, around.
It's similar in the way that it's weird. It's not, like, the same form at all.
But, like, but he gets it off so quick. And that's why I think he's really good at the, catch and shoot.
Yeah.
Because it's... He knows he's gonna shoot it. Like
he's thinking about it.
They're passing
him
the ball.
Doing.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna shoot.
He's got that mentality of, oh wait, I'm the go-to scorer on this team. I'm the undisputed alpha.
I feel like it's
alpha.
Been a while too, where Louisville has had a guy other than Ryan McMahon, I guess. But like, I'm like,
it's going in.
You have to shoot the ball. Like I want him to shoot the ball so bad.
Yeah.
Last year, I don't even think we had that. We had both Jordan Wara and Ryan McMahon on the team.
Wara's late from freshman to sophomore. I think that's part of the reason he's not on draft boards. Like, you and I watch, I know we know
Louisville
pretty well.
He's like...
Last year, like, nobody knew who he was. He wasn't a highly touted recruit, but it's like...
He's going to be the ACC's most improved player.
Eventually, someone's going to find this dude. Like, some scout. And it's gonna
How
be,
have they
why?
Not, though? Like...
No,
we've had scouts.
This will happen. Like,
they know of him.
If he goes to the combine, which he should do, you can go do that without putting your name in the draft. You can pull out. But if he goes through that, and it's gonna be like, wait, this guy is 6'8". He's a good shooter. He's a very good scorer. Why isn't he? They'll figure out. Like, he's not gonna. He's a guy that'll be drafted this year if he chooses to go. Which I have no idea what he's thinking. But yeah,
he should.
Let's talk about my guy of the week, another Jordan Poole. I bring this up because I haven't really looked into his draft stock too deeply. I haven't really seen him projected on any mock drafts first round. But Dan Dockich on the Wisconsin-Michigan call on Saturday said, well, this guy might be the best might be the best draft prospect in the Big Ten. And I gave that a long, hard think, and I don't think that's true.
They kind of got its top five in the draft.
I don't think that's true. I think Romeo Langford might be a...
He's a freshman.
I know Romeo hasn't been nearly as good as expected, but he's still Romeo. He's a 6'5", dynamite shooting guard. He's going to go higher than Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
Jordan Poole scores, what, 13 a game. He's become a much better passer. He's a good shooter, but, like at the end of the day, I don't really know what I mean, what's he? He's a spot-up shooter that can do a little bit off the dribble in the NBA, which, I mean, there's a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
But what it really caused me to think, I was like, oh, shoot, the Big Ten really doesn't have a lot of draft prospects in it.
They've got
Romeo and Jordan Poole. I guess Iggy Brazdeikis as a 6'7 guy that can shoot threes and just score really well. But still, like, even him. I don't know. There's a lot of... Big Ten does not have a lot of real talent, I guess. I guess Bruno Fernando is, like, one of the best draft prospects as a center. Like, that dude's predicted to go in the lottery right now, and I'm like, what? They're basically like, oh, Clint Capela 2.0, and I'm like, oh, okay, I see that. You tell me Clint Capela 2.0, sure, take him in the lottery. But, yeah, I'm with Jordan Poole. Swaggy. I would love to see Swaggy thrive in the NBA. He could be like a Nick Young. He could be Nick Young 2.0. He's like, he's got that fun, cool nickname. Like Swaggy. Swaggy Poole, Swaggy P. I mean, yeah. He looks like Nick Poole. He looks like Nick Young. He's 6'5", like Nick Young. He shoots well. Defense, he plays a little better than Swaggy P did. So, yeah, give me Swaggy. Whenever in doubt, Goss, just go with Swaggy, all right?
Swaggy Poole is currently, according to ESPN, number 66 draft.
66, man. Dan Dockers was going for him as a first-rounder, man. It's like, oof, come on, Danny.
And Jordan Wara is not even on it.
Oh, my gosh, Jordan Wara. That's ridiculous. Wara is just, to me, one of the most underrated prospects in the whole deal. Like,
I mean, if we somehow get him to stay, that'd be crazy.
Like, Ray Spalding got picked in the second round last year. I like Jordan Wara as a prospect better than Ray Spalding. I don't know about you.
He was our best. Ray Spalding was our best
player. I know, but what? Like, that dude's not going to play in the NBA very much. I mean, what is he? He's a power forward? A back-to-the-basket power forward? Yeah, come on. I like Wara way better than Spalding as a prospect.
Yeah, I mean,
Spalding got drafted.
Spalding also went up a little bit
through the draft process.
Because he had good workouts, apparently.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, anything else we want to talk about draft-related? I just sense this is a weak draft. Like, the last 2 years felt really strong.
It's not very deep.
Like, you got Zion, not trying for Zion. You got RJ. I don't even like Cam Reddish that much.
Obviously, I'm, like, really hoping that the Jazz get better because, you know, Donovan.
Yeah.
I really think they can make a push.
Yeah.
I'm not searching for another Donovan Mitchell-type star in, like, middle of the draft. But, like
who are you going to end up with?
They need a role player.
If your pick's 20th, like, who are you really going to get?
Like, they need... like a four. Like Derek Favors.
Yeah.
Like, and Joe are three.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, get one, three, and four.
I mean, look, if I'm the Jazz, I'm like, oh, here, I want Rui. But, like, you know, you're not getting Rui.
I love Rui.
Rui's not going to be available. It's like, what are you going to sell yourself on at this point? Like, who's a 20th pick guy you're like, you know what? I kind of like him. Like, who's going to be available around that range where you're like, okay, that guy, I can see him starting for my franchise for a long, long time. Yeah, Jordan Wara, but I'd feel risky taking Jordan Wara 20th at this point just because of some of the physical limitations. But, like, hell yeah, I mean,
he's like, noticeably changed physically from freshman to sophomore year. He's only going to get better, especially at
I hope so.
Full-time NBA job, pretty much.
Like, at 20th right now, the people that are projected over there are like, wait, like what, like Kevin Porter, Sekou Doumbia, Nasir Little, Darius Garland, like a lot of those dudes are
I would take Nasir Little because of his...
Oh, his upside. Yeah. But I don't even know what position that dude is. He's way too skinny to be a four in the NBA.
Garland. I really like Darius Garland.
Yeah. The problem is there's a lot of injuries this year. Like just think about guys in the first round that are injured now for the year. Bol Bol, DeAndre Hunter, Darius Garland. That's three dudes already. And then you got guys like Goga Batadze. Like that dude, I watched him play at in the Bahamas. He got injured. I was like, he got injured and left the game. I was like, well, the only other lottery pick we're supposed to play. Like Charles Basie, nobody's watching him. KZ Okpala. A lot of these dudes are just like, what? It's just, I don't know. The draft isn't very fun this year. Outside of like J. Morant, Zion, RJ. And I like Rui too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking at this mock draft.
I wouldn't mind the Jazz going after, like, actually, I'll take that back. I was going to say Keldon.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I don't want a locker room.
Disaster?
Disaster. I think he would be, too.
Right now, it has the Jazz taking Romeo.
Ooh. Langford?
Yeah.
How?
What do you mean?
How?
With the 14th pick.
What?
I mean, I don't like Romeo. He's just not... He's a beta. He's a beta. He's not an alpha. He's not taking over games.
He's an off... He's so good offensively, though.
I mean, he's good, but, like, he's not great. He's not elite like I thought he would be. Like, to me, there's just... The dudes from, like, 8 to 10, or, like, to 8 to, like, 15, I just don't like a lot. I really like Jared Culver, but outside of him, like, then you got Gafford. I don't know what he is in the NBA. Like, I could see him being out of the league in 3 years. But I really like his upside, but, like, I don't think he's worth that high a pick. Bruno Fernando, we talked about, it's like, okay, I guess you can sell me Capella 2.0, but he's not. He doesn't have that motor. Yeah,
he's a little bigger than Capella.
Yeah.
Like, he's not the...
Nasir Little, Langford, Dumbia, Bol Bol. Like, Bol Bol, like, he could be injured for his whole career, for all I know. And he looks awkward when he plays. I just don't like this draft a lot. I mean, it could end up like the 2013 draft where everybody hated it. But, like, then you look back and you're like, oh, Giannis. Oladipo, okay.
Giannis somehow falls to, what, the second round?
Okay, well, Giannis was like, the videos you saw of Giannis were like... You're like, is that a 10-foot goal? Like, it seriously looked like he was playing against, like... Because he wasn't even playing in Greece's Premier League. He was playing, like, their B League. And he was, like, just dunking over, like, 5'10" guys on what looked like a 9.5-foot goal. And people were like, yeah! I don't know about this. Cool, I guess. We'll take this guy.
He looks like he's a hell of a basketball player.
And then people saw his brother, and they were like, yep, there's another first-round pick.
And that didn't work out.
No, not quite. Finesis.
That's why, like, literally, like, Costas got drafted after averaging 3 points at Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
You want to know something? Ty Jerome is projected to be a first-round pick. Who's taking Ty Jerome? A slow white guy. 6'5", though, man.
Hey, Joe Ingles, 2.0.
Oh, my God, this draft. We'll iron out the kinks once the college basketball season ends, and we'll probably just go full draft when the offseason hits. A lot more heavy draft stuff, but for now, it's just kind of a whole mesh pot after, like, Zion, RJ, and Jay Ja. After those three, I'm like, you can convince me anybody's going next. Hell, Keldon Johnson, Rui Achebe.
Reddish?
I mean, I don't even like Reddish that much.
I don't either, but...
But I could see in 5 years, it's like, oh, Reddish is Jimmy, or is Paul George, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, he just gets an
opportunity. I'm like, oh, okay.
Which, that's why it's kind of...
That's why you don't go to Duke, man!
That's kind of why it's difficult that you have the three of the top three players.
Yeah, it's like, wait, it doesn't really fit that, or wait, can't, wait, one of them is getting left out. Mm-hmm. See, I thought this would cause... chemistry issues. It's not, because Coach K's a fucking genius and got him that game-winning three to get his confidence back up for the next 3 weeks.
That was brilliant.
But, like, I feel like when in the tournament, eventually Cam's just going to be like, God, I'm fed up with Zion and RJ scoring every single time, even though they're so damn good. He's like, I want some time to shine, and so I'm a top five pick. Maybe that won't happen this year. I don't know. Maybe he's not as aggressive as I thought. Well, sorry, Cam. Should have come to Kentucky. Oh, wait, never mind. Keldon Johnson would eat you alive. Hate Duke. Okay, is that about it, Goss? Do you have any final thoughts?
Nah, no. I mean, where is Chris Harvey?
Well, we'll say that in a minute. But did you see the
we football? Talked about this game that just finished?
Yeah, Kansas defeats Iowa State. Iowa State put up a good fight. Iowa State's kind of weird. They're up and they're down.
They beat Kansas.
They beat Kansas by 17 on their home court.
And then they lost by 4.
And they lost by 4 tonight. Good team, a lot of good players.
Helps, I guess.
Huh?
Home court advantage helps.
A little bit in college basketball.
Especially when it's Kansas.
It's a pretty big deal.
Kansas gets a huge home court advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, did you watch the football games yesterday?
I did not.
You are a loser. Oh, my God. You missed probably the best day of football.
Dude, I was asleep.
The best day of football you will have this year. You missed it.
I was.
I mean, did you see the no call?
I saw the no call.
The no call was.
Of course, I saw the no call.
The no call was as egregious as you thought it was. I would have lost my damn mind if I was a Saints fan. After last year's ridiculousness where Diggs and the cornerback took the terrible angle and it's like the Minneapolis miracle and we lost there. It's like your window's running out when you have Breeze and Kamara and Michael Thomas. When you have Breeze as this aging, really good quarterback, you got Kamara and Michael Thomas still on rookie contracts. Like you gotta capitalize now where your cap space is available. But they lose again to the Rams and Sean McVay. And then the Pats Chiefs was wild. Chiefs down 14-0 at halftime, score 31 in the second half to make it 31-31. And then the coin toss. Tom Brady, he's 3-0 in overtime, and they said the other team has not touched the ball. How great is he? It's like, yeah, he went 3-0 in fucking coin tosses. Only Tom Brady could be 3-0 in coin tosses. Like, the most important coin tosses of his career. Of course he's 3-0.
Of course he is.
But Pat Mahomes is going to be in the AFC Championship for the next 20 years.
Mm.
Yeah. Dude is a stud. All right, but that about wraps it up.
So is Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite NFL player.
Probably not my favorite one. I generally, I like to keep some morality when I'm picking
okay, my favorite NFL player. Okay, I'm talking about football player, not person. He's a terrible
person.
I know.
I like him as a – I like watching him as a player. I can't make him my favorite player when he's beat a girl.
Okay.
I can't.
He's a terrible person. We got that.
Like, you asked me, do I like Vontaze Burfict as a football player? Yeah, is he my favorite? No way. He's not going to be my favorite player. Mahomes is my favorite player. I said it. He's not even on the Bengals, but he's just too damn fun to watch. And he can throw the ball a million miles.
Mahomes and AJ Green.
I was so pissed that the Chiefs didn't win. Because on this podcast, on the NFL preview, I said Rams and Chiefs. We can go pick out the audio. I said the Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl. I said it. I called it. And then it was in my fingertips. I lost it. Ah, I was so high in the Chiefs. I love Mahomes.
I said Patriots for sure. Because I always pick the Patriots because it's all Brady. It's an easy pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I went off.
If you're wrong, you're not like an idiot.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like, oh, you picked the Patriots. Like, it's probably good one, but you know.
It's like, yeah. If you pick the Patriots, you're generally a smart person. Here, wait. Let me check and see if I have my notebook, which I don't.
Wait, do you have the notebook that had the odds?
The odds, the over unders. Yeah, I don't have it with me.
We can go over it next time.
We can go over it next time. I looked at it. We actually pretty good. You know. I think barring some injuries, we looked pretty good. Like we hammered the Bengals over 6.5, which looked good when they were 4-1. and then the 8 and 9 of the 11 offensive starters got injured. We lost big on that one there. We were high on the Chiefs and the Rams, so yeah, we're pretty good. We'll check on that next time. This one's about an hour episode. Thank you to the Pulse Podcast Network. As always, Goss. Where is
Chris Early?
Chris Early.